Good afternoon, everyone, and greetings to those of you who are watching on the webcast. And nice rendition, Ivan, and hopefully if some of the words that you sang will come out in my sermon also. We all were surprised that as the year 2020 entered our calendar, that 3 months later, we would enter a shutdown caused by what everyone says by a virus from Wuhan, China. And even though the January, February edition of the Beyond Today magazine had asked the question, the 2020s, are here, are you ready? No one knew that the beginning of the years of the 2020s would have a crisis such as what we experienced in the second week of March. To be told that we couldn't go to where we wanted to go. We couldn't spend a lot of time traveling around. We had to almost shelter in place, not being able to go to the mall, go to a restaurant, or travel out of the state. All that takes some getting used to, because no one likes to, and I don't think any human being wants to be stationary in one place. And to see our country come to almost a complete stop was surprising. But we who are students of the Bible know that troubled times are coming, and that we have a responsibility to be alert and attentive and to be ready for whatever will come upon us. My title this afternoon is Conquering Adversity Requires Perseverance. Adversity is defined as, from dictionary.com, as a condition marked by misfortune, calamity, or distress. Perseverance, defined by Westby's dictionary, is a continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. Some of the lessons that we learned during this 6 month period, especially with the pandemic, is that things can change in a matter of weeks, months, days, and we learn quickly that we are not in control, that other factors have a greater effect upon us. And we look back from January to March at how the country's economy was humming along. The stock market was breaking records. The jobless rate was very low. And among certain ethnic groups, the employment rate was at an all-time high, not seen since the late 1960s. With all that is going on in the last 6 months, including the riots and the burnings and the tearing down of statues, what should we be doing as those of God's church? Let's begin in Luke 21. We read verse 34 and 35. Luke 21, verse 34 and 35. Verse 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. Verse 35. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Another translation, the New American Standard Bible, states, "Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and worries of life, and that day of Christ's return come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth." I know Mr. Gennaro spoke, gave a humorous sermon there. Hopefully this is not a gloom and doom sermon, but it has a good aim. Let's turn over to 2 Peter 3:10-11. 2 Peter 3, verse 10 and 11. 2 Peter 3:10. Speaking of the day of the Lord, "But that day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away and a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." Verse 11. "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" The Holman Study Bible quotes comments on verse 11. "The anticipation of the Lord's return and its accompanying events of judgment should stir Christians to a life of holy living." Another blessing that we learn, or lesson that we learn from this current conditions that are going on in our society and in the world, that it is a blessing to know God's way of life, to be called at this time. We should be absent of fear, worries, anxiety, and all the problems that is occurring in our society, or that people don't know where to look for answers. On the other hand, we have hope. An encouraging aspect of this subject is knowing that God has promised to watch over and care for his people during this time of unpredictability and this time of worldwide turmoil. This year, 2020, has been like no other for those of us who are members of God's church. The spring holy days were kept in a manner different than any other time in history, in our recent history. We kept the Passover at home and kind of remind us of the first Passover that the Israelites kept in their home. And we kept the spring holy days, first and last day of unleavened bread, in our homes, viewing the webcast from Cincinnati. And one of the things that help us as a congregation is to be able to, the ministry discovered Zoom, where we could power up. First time we saw each other by way of Zoom, we were excited, and it made us more appreciative of each other and shows that when we're not together, we miss each other. I think I lost power. Okay. And it really helps us to be thankful that we are now able to get together, and when fellowshipping cannot be done too well at home, even though we are seeing a webcast. When we are in person, it helps us to get to know one another, help us to share things that we can't share with our neighbors or if we're still working, our co-workers. As we look forward to the fall holy days, we will be keeping them as God commands us. even though, especially when we get to the Feast of Tabernacles, the size of the room may be different, and we will have to distance ourselves from each other, and we may have to wear masks. This pandemic, or this coronavirus, has not canceled the holy days. We're still commanded to keep them. And many of us, those of us who are traveling to other areas for the feast, and some of us were traveling internationally, this pandemic has caused us to change feast sites and go to another feast site. Because my wife and I were looking forward to seeing some of the places that are described in the Bible on our trip up internationally. But maybe we have to try that again next year. Jesus Christ tells us that there is nothing wrong with wanting to avoid suffering and avoid the end time disasters. As he says in Luke 21 and verse 36, let's turn back there, Luke 21 and verse 36. We were in Luke 21 earlier. Luke 21 and verse 36. Verse 36 of Luke 21. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Here, Jesus Christ encourages us to be alert, to be aware, watching our own spiritual state as well as the world events and conditions, and earnestly praying we will be worthy to escape the coming devastation if it occurs in our lifetime. During the current crisis that our nation is facing, many in the Christian world will look to prophecy. Longtime members of the church will remember some of the drawings of Mr. Basil Wolverton. Some of them were very scary, especially to someone just coming into the church. But the fulfillment has become real to many of us today. In a sermon given by Mr. Randy D'Alessandro, he lists ways that prophecy helps us, and I will list a few of them. Number one, prophecy forms the basis for our worship. Let's read about that in John 4, verse 21 and 23. John 4, verse 21 and 23. Verse 21 of John 4. Jesus said, he was talking to the Samaritan woman. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." Verse 23. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." Another point is prophecy forms the basis of how we live our lives. Let's read about that in Romans 16, verse 17 through 18. Romans 16, verse 17 through 18. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 through 18. Verse 17. "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them." Verse 18, "For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceives the heart of the simple." Another way that prophecy helps us, it forms the basis for preaching the gospel. Read about that in Acts chapter 13, Acts 13, verse 4 through 10. Acts chapter 13, verse 4 through 10. Verse 4 of Acts 13. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Caesarea, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Verse 6. Now when they had gone through the island of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. Verse 8. But Elymas, the sorcerer, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Verse 9. Then Saul, also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. Verse 10. And said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? Quoting from Barnes Notes on the Bible, commenting on verse 10, the right ways of the Lord, the straight path or doctrine of Christian religion, in opposition to the crooked and perverse arts of deceivers and imposters. Straight paths denote integrity, sincerity, truth. Crooked ways denote the ways of sinner, the deceiver, the imposter. Quoting from an article from the United Church of God titled Plagues on the Horizon, experts argue that world conditions are now ripe for an even worse outbreak than the Spanish flu. With the world population approaching 8 billion, that has led to overcrowding in urban areas throughout the world. For example, New York City and certain cities in New Jersey. Combining the poor sanitation conditions in many countries with the ease and frequency of air travel, today's world could allow a highly contagious disease to spread faster than ever before in human history. Recently, we have seen that being played out with the coronavirus. In the United States, there has been over 6 million infections and over 190,000 deaths that have been reported in the U.S. And many believe that the Chinese government is purposely underreporting to prevent people from panicking. Jesus Christ warns us prior to his return in Matthew 24, verse 7 and 8. Matthew chapter 24, verse 7 and 8. Verse 7. For nations will rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrow. The fourth beast of Revelation, the four horsemen, is described as a pale horse, and the name who sat on that horse was death. That's Revelation 6 and verse 8. The expository Bible commentary states, pale denotes a yellowish green and light green of a plant or paleness of a sick person in contrast to a healthy appearance. In other words, the Bible prophecy confirms mounting evidence, epidemic fears, but also reveals a healing, a source of healing and hope. Of and by ourselves, we do not have everything that it takes to learn from the master, the challenger of life. Let's turn to John 15 and we read verse 4. John 15 and verse 4 and 5. John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. John 15, verse 4 and 5. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Quoting from Barnes' notes on the Bible, commenting on verse 4, abide in me, remain united to me by a living faith. Live a life of dependence on me and obey my doctrine. Imitate my example and constantly exercise faith in me. Any person trying to exist without the living Jesus Christ in their lives is missing an important and valuable asset available. God's help and backing can produce major physical, mental, and financial and spiritual dividends. We all need to actively work to overcome obstacles and trials with a persistent effort. God expects us to do our part. He wants each of us to develop the mind and ability He has given us that requires firsthand experience. We need to work like the solution depends on us while relying on God to direct our path. This provides the added security and the powerful backing only our Creator can provide. Active living faith produces effort and work. Let's read that in James 2. We read verse 18 18 through 20. James 2, verse 18 through 20. Verse 18. On the caption of my Bible, faith without works is dead. Verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Verse 20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? There are times that when there is nothing that we can do. Nothing we can do to solve the problem or overcome the obstacle. Often when circumstances are beyond our control, it is more difficult to endure or persevere. But when we wait on God and submit our will to His, we grow in faith and character. God may choose to simply work out the circumstances to solve the problem, or He may allow the problem to persist to perfect our faith and to increase our reliance upon Him. The following is a quote from Franklin Graham on how we should handle the coronavirus, or any, I extend that to any circumstance that is going on or happening in our country today. Mr. Graham is the president and CEO of the Billy Graham Evangelist Association and of Samaritan Purse, an international Christian relief organization. He states that this is an opportunity for people to turn their hearts to God. This is what he told Fox News. I want everyone to have the peace that comes from knowing that their sins are forgiven. This wonderful message is for a world that is scared, frightened, hunkered down, not knowing what to do next. There is solid ground, and it's at the foot of the cross. You do not need to be afraid when you put your faith and trust in God's Son, Jesus Christ. He loves you. He made you. He knows everything about your life. He is with us when we go through the storms of life. Mr. Graham does not have the understanding that we are blessed to have. He's trying to give people hope. He doesn't say anything about repenting of our sins. And God requires us to obey him, saying a lot of nice sounding things will not work. On the other hand, we are blessed to have God open our minds to understand and know and understand what it is required to worship God. How are we to get through the storms of life? Or how are we to get through this uncertainty of the times that we're living in? Number one, become spiritually awake. Although the end time is a period of record world trouble, it is also nearing the time of God's kingdom. Paul gives us a perspective on how we should spiritually prepare for that time, regardless of when it comes. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4 through 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4 through 11. Verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light, sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Verse 6, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep at night, those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. A comment from Barnes Notes on the Bible, commenting on verse 5 of 1 Thessalonians 5. And all the children of the day, the meaning is that about the coming of the day of the Lord, they are as people would be in reference to the coming of a thief. If there was no night and no necessity of slumber, they would always be wakeful, active. It would be impossible to come upon them in a surprise. Christians are always to be wakeful and vigilant. They are so to expect the coming of the Redeemer, that he will not find them off guard and will not come upon them as a surprise. We all should take great comfort in God's promises and knowledge he has made available about the end time. The good news is that if we prepare ourselves spiritually, this can be a time of confidence, hope, and joy, leading us to God's kingdom. As Jesus assured us in Luke 21 and verse 8, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your Redeemer draws near." Another point on preparing for the difficult times ahead: watch and pray. Quoting from the May-June issue of the Beyond Today magazine, in Mark 13 and verse 33, Mark chapter 13 and verse 33. Verse 33 of Mark 13. On the caption of my Bible, "No one knows the day or hour." Verse 33, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is." Jesus Christ again brings us to what we are to now to consider: the large lessons that we can learn from the pandemic or the marching and rioting. He warns us to take heed, watch, and pray. Today we do not know when Christ will return, yet we are to watch and pray. The question may be, what exactly does that mean? Watch and watching, in biblical sense, have a broad meaning that flows from the prophecies of Ezekiel, the prophet who was told he was like a watchman who stood on a wall on the walls of the city and warned the people of an approaching danger. Let's read his message in Ezekiel 33, verse 1 through 7. Ezekiel 33, verse 1 through 7. The watchman and his message. Ezekiel 33, verse 1. "Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say to them, When I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head." Verse 5. "He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand." Verse 7. "So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me." The message and warning was to a people to prepare for a time of danger, siege, and all that might bring, including famine and pestilence. They were to take precautions to meet the trial so they could withstand and endure and prevail. Christ used the term watch to tell us to be aware and be alert and discern the conditions of the world around us and to understand where we are progressing, where the progression of God's prophetic plan for this world. But also that we are also to be watching our own spiritual condition. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we will want to understand the emergent signs of the end time and let that motivate us to live soberly, holy, and godly lives. When we know a time of trouble and the ultimate judgment is coming on the world, we live differently. We all know God is real. His word is a sure guide to life. And we take steps to live in alignment with his truth. That is what a true disciple will do. A true disciple also will pray to God in a way that develops a relationship, a spiritual connection of love. Trusting in God's love is the core faith that allows us to manage our emotional health during a time of stress as it is at the present time. Many of us every day or at times face uncertainty in jobs, health, and maybe a larger picture of what's happening in our society around us. When we see nations and cities locked down or under quarantine, we are seeing, as I said previously, something that we never have experienced. And we, in recent months, we have groups that want to destroy the United States. And unfortunately, many do not even have a clue of how this country came together. Groups such as Black Lives Matter, and their goal is right on the web, on their website, is stated that they state that their goal is that we make our spaces family friendly and enable parents to fully participate with their children. We dismantle the patriarchal practice that requires mothers to work double shift, so that they can mother in private even as they participate in public justice work. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family. That's one of their strong points. They want to destroy the family and redefine it. The structure, the requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers and parents and children are comfortable. Many people who may be following this group don't even realize what their intent is or what their goal is. Another thing that is happening in our society is cancel culture. It is defined as a group of distractors of a person, typically originating from Twitter, who typically verbally insult and attempts to convince others that the person they are canceling is a terrible person. It is unnerving and frightening and can cause some to become unglued emotionally. I listened to a sermon by Mr. Robin Weber on cancel culture, and he brought out that people of the Bible, such as Abraham, David, and Jacob, who had did some things that would be canceled out today. Like, let's say David, for example, who committed adultery, who had the lady he committed adultery, her husband killed. If they were today, someone found that out, they would be canceled. But they are God's servants. So the world will understand God's way of life one day. from an article written by Mr. Don Hooser titled Attitudes That Entrap Christians. He states that in God's church, we are told to watch, listen, and read to keep up with world news, events, conditions, and trends. We should focus on news that is significant rather than sensational. Our knowledge of end time prophecy should guide our selection. If we are busy, make watching a high priority, dedicate time for it. But we must be selective in what we watch. It is said that networks such as NBC, CBS, ABC, and some of the cable channels slant the news. They have an agenda. It is said that BBC, which covers the globe, and Der Spiegel, and international covers international world news from a European perspective, they are a good source of news. But despite Christ's command, many Christians do not stay well informed. There may be several reasons. Some feel that paying serious attention to news is not spiritual enough. But true spirituality is based on obeying our Master, Jesus Christ, who commands us to watch. Others may ignore news because it's mostly bad, and that interferes with feeling happy and comfortable. A former supervisor made a comment earlier this year that she doesn't watch news. She comes to work and gets involved with working, so she won't have to listen to news. That may be a cop-out, or escapism. But that doesn't stop the news from happening. We are not to selfishly shut our eyes and heart to the suffering of others, or becoming indifferent, complacent, or fatalistic. People get depressed when they feel helpless or hopeless. They don't know where to turn. But by watching and praying, we are strengthened. We can help others to understand what's happening, and we are more effective helpers with God's work and in other ways. A Christ-like attitude is one of sympathy, empathy, and compassion for your fellow countrymen, for all humanity. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." If we grieve for others, God will comfort us in this life and much more in the next life. Each of us, as God's people, have a responsibility to watch and pray. Ignorance comes from ignoring, and God does not want us to be ignorant and be in darkness. Our role model, Jesus Christ, understood the issues, politics, and personality of his day. We should follow his example. At the same time, we must avoid the mistake of going to the other extreme, studying world affairs, history, and even conspiracy theories more than the Bible. Without a sound understanding of God's word and a dedication to live by it, little else matters. God will give forgiveness and protection to those who repent of their sins and make the commitment to obey and serve him. Jesus told us to regularly pray to God in Matthew 6 and verse 10, "Your kingdom come." Are we able to convince others of the urgent need of God's kingdom if we can't explain what's wrong with the present world? Keep watching is summarized by Jesus Christ in Mark 13, verse 35 and 37. Mark 13, verse 35 and 37. Mark chapter 13, verse 35 through 37. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. Verse 37. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. We can look forward to the awesome events and remain fully obedient while waiting for it. Jesus gave us the promise in Matthew 24 and verse 13. He who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. We, as God's call out people, should not live in terror. The end time is a time of great distress and world trouble, but it is also nearing the threshold of God's kingdom. We must spiritually prepare for the time of Christ's return, regardless of when that arrives. Take comfort in God's promise and knowledge that He is made available about the end time. Begin today by letting God lead us to a deeper understanding through His Holy Bible. Dedicate ourselves to getting to know God even better and learning His ways thoroughly. God has shown us the utter feebleness of life and modern civilization. No one is immune. We need to act. In conclusion, three lessons from the current crisis that we are faced with, the pandemic and the ongoing rioting and looting and destroying buildings. Things can change, number one, in a matter of days, weeks, or months. Number two, it is a blessing to know God's way of life. Number three, we should take great comfort in God's promises and the knowledge He has made available to us about the end time. All of us must watch and pray, pay attention to what is happening around us, and strive to do the work God has called us to do. Hope everyone has a fantastic fall festival season.